This is the start of the sixth European annual event virtually. So, a very warm welcome to all of you. My name is Frederick and I'm an adult child. I have been a member of 12-step fellowships for about 14 years now. My first meeting was in 2006, and I have now 4 years of recovery in ACA. And it has been a magical time for me. ACA has given me a whole new life, a new view of life I couldn't imagine. I have been the chair of the European Committee since April this year, and since June, I have also been a board member for the ACA WSO. Before that, I have been the chair for the host committee for the AWC in Malmö 2019, and I have also been a member of the Swedish Intergroup for 2 years before that. This has truly been a different year for all of us. Everything has been put to the test by the pandemic that I have not been close to experience before. It has affected the whole world in ways I never could imagine. And of course, ACA is not an exception. We have learned new ways to meet, and today there is no difference. But together, we will get through this by doing our best, and that is always good enough. At the beginning of the year, we asked the fellowship from Europe to come in with bids to organize the sixth European annual event. We received applications, and the choice fell on the Greece Fellowship. They had a very nice and elaborate proposal. We had meetings earlier and the planning was on the way. And then COVID came and took over. We tried our best to hope that it could go and implement, but in July, we in the European Committee and the host committee from Greece had to make a decision. So, after careful consideration in the EC and the Greek Fellowship, it was decided not to have a physical event. We in the European Committee discussed this and felt that we wanted to try to organize it virtually. And now, little more than 2 months later, we are here. And we are so happy and grateful for all the help and support we have received from everyone in the fellowship where we have extended a hand. We wanted a mix of speakers and workshops, and we have wanted to make this an event where we connect not only Europe, but also get involved with the rest of the world so that we feel that we are a part of the world. That is why both speakers and panelists are from all over the world. Another thing we have initiated, it's a closer cooperation with the Global Committee because they face similar challenges as Europe. And the Global Committee includes every part of the world except Europe and North America. And we face similar challenges as Europe, yeah, but even though it's different in some parts. With speakers, participants, people who are open and close to meeting, we have tried to engage participants from as many countries as possible in Europe. We would like very much to relive the fantastic moments, I think, from the AWC this year when there were so many nationalities who in the closing meeting did a serenity prayer in their language. And this will end this annual event tonight, approximately around 9 o'clock CET. And then each one person from each country could to say the serenity prayer in their language. And for me, it's fantastic to listen to all these different languages. And even if I don't understand the words, I can sense the same feeling as if I say it myself. We have wanted to include a range of topics that are widely differing. As the first part, where a new loving parent handbook will be touched upon, then recovery through service and traditions, to then continue with various topics. A couple of things we really want to highlight are the sponsorship panel, where there will be different members from Europe who share their views on sponsorship within ACA. And about 2 months ago, the European Committee also began to discuss the possibility of creating and starting a region in Europe. And therefore, that is one of the items on the, today's program. We have people with us who have experience of both starting and running regions. What are the benefits? Are there any disadvantages? To form a region, it is we members from all over Europe who must have it as a desire to want to go from committee to region. Therefore, I and we in the EC hope for many questions for the panelists this afternoon. And by members, I mean it's all of us, but also the IGs and the groups around Europe. As it is now, the European Committee is a committee attached with the WSO. As a region, there is a greater opportunity to operate as a separate entity, but more on that later. And now I want to give the floor to other officers in the European Committee for them to introduce themselves. And I hereby hand over it to Irma from the UK and Lithuania. Welcome, Irma.
Hi, my name is Irma. I'm adult child from Lithuania and currently living in the UK, London. I've been serving as a service sponsor coordinator since March this year, and I believe that serving is a part of my recovery, and also I want to give back to others what was given to me. I hope you find this event beneficial to your recovery and you will enjoy it, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you. My name is Hasse. I'm an adult child from Denmark. I went to my first meeting in Copenhagen around 13 years ago and has been in recovery or on this recovery journey since. I've served as an international representative for my country, Denmark, and have participated in the ABC in US, Canada, and of course in Sweden last year too. My main interest in service has always been the ACA literature, and for the last 6 months I've had the pleasure of serving as the European Literature Chairman of the European Committee. Yes, and I hope you all have a wonderful day and talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you. Maya?
Hello, do you hear me? Great. My name is Mario and I'm an adult child from Finland. Nowadays, I'm doing service as a web servant for the European Committee. And I've been in the ACA program for about 17 years. And I'm very grateful. I have thought often how my life would be without the program. And I couldn't even imagine what it would be. I know very many of you can rely on that thought. But I've been a member of the Finnish IG for my 4 years when I started in the program, and I'm very happy to meet all of you guys here, and I hope we'll see each other live someday also. Thank you.
Thank you. Marcus.
Thank you, Mario. Hi, good morning, everyone. I'm Marcus, and I am a gratefully recovering adult child from Sweden. And I do say grateful because I really feel grateful this morning to be here with you all from Europe and the rest of the world. And I'm really looking forward to this day with you. Convention has been such an important tool in my recovery and well-being, and where I have experienced a lot of breakthroughs that has been very important for me. I I do service as MPS chair, and I came on the European Committee after the World Convention here in Malmö almost 1.5 years ago. And that's, I just experienced how service really helps my recovery and just my well-being and emotional sobriety. And so that's why I wanted to continue doing doing service as MPS or members in public services. And for those of you who are new, the public services basically means doing service on Tradition 5, the primary purpose to carry its message to the adult child who still suffers and making information about ACA available for suffering adult children out there. So yeah, as I said, I'm really looking forward to this day with you, and I hope you will have a good convention, and I will hand over to Beryl. Thanks.
You are muted, Beryl.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Patrick. Thanks, everyone. Good morning. My name's Beryl. I'm an adult child. I live in the UK. I've been here for about 23 years. I'm originally from South Africa. I joined ACA 12 years ago, and I was introduced to the telephone bridge meetings. And that's where I feel that I really found my recovery, where I learned from my fellow travelers. And I was spoiled for choice. There were meetings on, loads of meetings on, attending, becoming a loving parent meeting daily and other meetings. I served as the UK chair and the UK secretary for about 2.5 years. I've been the secretary for our group here in Newcastle on and off since I've been in recovery, and I joined the European Committee as a secretary in March early on in this year. And so I'm responsible for attending about 3 meetings a month and doing the minutes and the agendas. So thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Mario. Beryl, sorry. I want to say thank you for all the commitment and the time you spend on service to the fellowships in Europe. I'm very grateful to be a part of ACA by doing service in this way. And now it's time to hand over to Charlie H. from USA, who is the chair of the ACAW's board. And I let him speak for himself. Welcome, Charlie.
Thank you so much, Frederick. I do want to say it's just a little after 4 a.m. my time, and I know we have at least one guest for whom it's 3 a.m. So I'm supposed to give a presentation in a few minutes, and if you hear me snoring a little bit, just figure out how to gently nudge me over the computer. But I'm really happy to be here. My name's Charlie. I live in the Washington D.C. area. I have been in ACA since 1986, and I've been doing this for 34 years. My wife joined in 1983, and she's been doing it for 37 years. So she gives me advice on how to work the program, which is great. And I just want to say this journey has changed everything in how I think about life, feel about life. You know, pretty much anything I can do well in life began with the minute I learned about what it meant to be an adult child of an alcoholic family. Several people have talked a little bit about service. I've been doing that more for about 5 years. I helped start an intergroup in Washington, D.C. and 2015, joined the WSO board, World Service Organization board, in 2016. And I want to say just, you know, service is something a lot of people in ACA don't necessarily get excited about doing originally. It has been an opportunity in the last 4 or 5 years to try to help carry the message to other people. And it's really been one of the greatest experiences in my recovery, and it helps me continue to grow today. The only other thing I want to say is, you know, Frederick mentioned the pandemic, and we went through this in the spring because we originally were going to have just as we were going to meet in Greece in September, the whole annual meeting was going to be in Florida in April. And of course, we had to cancel that. I think in ACA, our ability to connect this way has been a real gift. We had over 1,000 people for some of our sessions in April, and people from around the world. It's not just the numbers. It was the energy of seeing adult children from all parts of the planet, or today, you know, people who I've really come to know and begun to develop friendships with from many, many countries. It just always amazes me how I can talk with somebody from, you know, I'm looking at the countries, Denmark or Greece or Lithuania. And if they're an adult child, I feel like we can understand each other right away. Whereas somebody who lives two doors away from me on my street, but doesn't have this experience, you and I may understand each other better, even if we speak different languages, than somebody who's my own neighbor, if we don't have the same experience. So this has been a really important and exciting time for me to see our fellowship grow, to see us carry the message in so many countries. I'm happy to be here, and Frederick, thank you very much for inviting me.
Thank you, Charlie. Then we have also Sharon as a tech host on. Sharon?
Hi, everyone. I am Sharon, adult child. I live in the Kansas City, Missouri area, kind of in the middle of the United States. Running a little late this morning. It is 3 a.m. my time. But it is actually something I've been looking forward to all week, to being here. My body decided to oversleep. But I thank you. I thank everyone that has been involved in the service of having this program today. And I have, I've been in ACA for, I just went over 6 years. In September, and this program saved my life, literally. I was suicidal before this program. Mm. And service helps keep me grounded. And it also has opened up my world, which right now, especially during COVID, and in my recovery wise, opening up my world and being able to be on here on this meeting with all you wonderful people. Thank you so much. And thank you, ACA. And I even have to say thank you, Zoom, because this year it has really helped us continue to carry the message and not be alone. And no, I am not alone, because I can be here with my fellow travelers. No matter where we are, I can be here and know that I'm not alone. So anyway, I do volunteer on the IT committee. But any type of service, whether it's taking minutes for a personal business, the local business meeting, or sending outreach calls to fellow travelers, or participating on the European committee or any WSO committees or local intergroups. It just helps carry the message. And it has really helped me learn to practice more self-love. So thank you.
Thank you, Sharon. And then I want to thank all of you who are here today. It is you who make this possible. It is you, me, and all of us who is ACA, not the European Committee. We are here for you in the best way we can. We just, like you, do our best every day to provide service and to work with ourselves in our own recovery. Every member are equal. Our recovery is a daily work, and where it is clear to me how much service means to me and my recovery. But again, without all of you, nothing will happen. I sincerely hope that you will enjoy the day, maybe get new insights, maybe find new friends, maybe get tips, advice, and new thoughts. And with that, I declare the 6th European annual event inaugurated and hereby hand over to Sophia from Greece, who will open our first meeting. Welcome, Sophia, the former chair for the Greece Host Committee.
Hello, good morning. My name is Sophia. I'm from Greece. I'm an adult child. Welcome to the 6th European annual event organized by the ACA European Committee. We are doing 8 virtual meetings today between 10 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. Central European time. Please see the full program on www.aca. I will have it on the chat. It's www.aca.wsoec.org. This is an SCA speaker meeting on becoming your own loving parent. Please note that only active speakers will be unmuted, and also we have turned off everyone's cameras for meeting safety. If you would like to share, use the raise hand feature at that time to speak. You will be unmuted when it is your turn to speak. Please join me in opening our meeting with the SCA Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the people I cannot change.
The courage to change the one I can, and the wisdom to know that the one
is me.
We meet to share the experience we had as children growing up in an alcoholic or dysfunctional home. That experience infected us then, and it affects us today. By practicing the 12 step, by focusing on the solution, and by accepting a higher power of our understanding, we find freedom for the effects of alcoholic and other family dysfunction. We identify with the problem and learn to live to the solution one day at a time. I would ask somebody to read the problem. Would somebody willing to read the problem?
And if someone wants to do that, please raise your hand as an attendee and I will allow you to talk. So everyone who is an attendee. Could you share it?
Dahlia. Yay, hi, this is Dahlia, adult child in Israel. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Thank you for having the problem adapted from the laundry list. Many of us found that we had several characteristics in common as a result of being brought up in an alcoholic or dysfunctional household. We'd come to feel isolated and uneasy with other people, especially authority figures. To protect ourselves, we became people pleasers, even though we lost our own identities in the process. All the same, we would mistake any personal criticism as a threat. We either became alcoholics or practiced other addictive behavior ourselves, or married them, or both. Failing that, we found other compulsive personalities, such as alcoholic, to to fulfill our sick need for abandonment. We live life from the standpoint of victims, having an overdeveloped sense of responsibility. We preferred to be concerned with others rather than ourselves. We got guilt feelings when we stood up for ourselves rather than giving in to others. Thus, we became reactors rather than actors, letting others take the initiative. We were dependent personalities, terrified of abandonment, willing to do almost anything to hold on to a relationship in order not to be abandoned emotionally. Yet, we kept choosing insecure relationships because they matched our childhood relationship with alcoholic or dysfunctional parents. These symptoms of the family disease of alcoholism or other dysfunction made us co-victims, those who take on the characteristics of the disease without necessarily ever taking a drink. We learned to keep our feelings down as children and kept them buried as adults. As a result of this conditioning, we confused love with pity, tending to love those we could rescue. Even more self-defeating, we became addicted to excitement in all our efforts, preferring constant upset to workable relationships. This is a description, not an indictment. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Dalia. Now I've asked Imke to read the solution.
Hi, everybody. I'm Imke. I'm an adult child from the Netherlands. The solution. The solution is to become your own loving parent. As ACA becomes a safe place for you, you will find freedom to express all the hurts and fears you have kept inside and to free yourself from the shame and blame that are carryovers from the past. You will become an adult who is imprisoned no longer by childhood reactions. You will recover the child within you, learning to accept and love yourself. The healing begins when we risk moving out of isolation. Feelings and buried memories will return. By gradually releasing the burden of unexpressed grief, we slowly move out of the past. We learn to reparent ourselves with gentleness, humor, love, and respect. This process allows us to see our biological parents as the instruments of our existence. Our actual parent is a higher power whom some of us choose to call God. Although we had alcoholic or dysfunctional parents, our higher power gave us the 12 steps of recovery. This is the action and work that heals us. We use the steps, we use the meetings, we use the telephone. We share our experience, strength, and hope with each other. We learn to restructure our sick thinking one day at a time. When we release our parents from responsibility for our actions today, we become free to make healthful decisions as actors, not reactors. We progress from hurting to healing to helping. We awaken to a sense of wholeness we never knew was possible. By attending these meetings on a regular basis, you will come to see parental alcoholism or family dysfunction for what it is, a disease that infected you as a child and continues to affect you as an adult. You will learn to keep the focus on yourself in the here and now. You will take responsibility for your own life and supply your own parenting. You will not do this alone. Look around you and you will see others who know how you feel. We will love and encourage you no matter what. We ask you to accept us just as we accept you. This is a spiritual program based on action coming from love. We are sure that as the love grows inside you, you will see beautiful changes in all your relationships, especially with God, yourself, and your parents. I pass.
Thank you, Imke. Now we'll ask if somebody would like to read the 12 steps.
Yeah, and I will give the word to ACA sorry for my pronunciation, Bucharesti. You can talk now, ACA Renestra Bucharesti. Do you hear me? Okay, then we go to the next. It's Ineke. Welcome, Ineke.
Good morning, Ineke Edeltveld, Netherlands. The ACA steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over the effects of alcoholism or any other family dysfunction, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand God. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked God to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, as we understand God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to others who still suffer and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you very much. You may have related to our readings, even if there was no apparent alcoholism or addiction in your home. This is common because dysfunction can occur in a family without the presence of addiction. We welcome you. We remind us of the 12th tradition, what we hear here, when you live here, let it stay here. You do not talk about another person's story or experience to other people. We also want to remind our speaker that the meeting is recorded and will be published on www.acawsoec.org. We do not crosstalk during the sharing time. Crosstalk means interrupting, referring to, or commenting on what another person has said during the meeting. We do not crosstalk because adult children come from family backgrounds where feelings and perceptions were judged as wrong or defective. We accept without comment what others say because it is true for them. We work towards taking more responsibility in our lives rather than giving advice to others. We welcome our speaker, Charlie, from USA.
Thank you, Sophia. My name is Charlie. I am an adult child of an alcoholic family. And I am speaking today. I'll be going to a PowerPoint momentarily about becoming your own loving parent. And so if people bear with me, I'm just going to take a moment to hopefully get my screen shared with people. Oops. Okay. Can people see my screen on your, or my PowerPoint on your screen? I'm seeing a few hands. Yes, I'm seeing hands going up. Okay, great. So anyway, thank you so much, everybody, for being here today. Before I start, I want to specifically acknowledge somebody who's been a great servant to ACA, Bonnie M. She, in 2017, suggested a motion for the annual business meeting for a new workbook on becoming your own loving parent. There's one chapter in the Big Red Book called The Solution, Becoming Your Own Loving Parent. But the feeling was it wasn't enough. And that book will be coming out its first edition in 2021. It's really essentially completed and just going through last editing. And much of the material in this program is drawn from that book, which I have participated in to a degree and helped in and done a little bit of the writing for. But I think it's going to be a great opportunity to share this part of our program, which is unique to ACA. Most 12-step programs focus on the steps and oftentimes things like abstaining from drinking. In our case, a huge part of our recovery is reclaiming our inner child. An overview of what I'll be talking about. One is simply just the discussion of what is reparenting, why is it important. A really central part of this journey, which Bonnie talked about at a program in April, is putting the loving parent in charge. How do we get from where we start to really having a voice of love right inside of us? Just drawing on some of my own experiences, I will talk a bit about just simply how do we do this in our daily lives. And then lastly, although I've done this a little bit already, identify some reparenting resources to help people go forward. Now, I have taken faith that technology will serve us here. I wanted just to get a sense of where people are at to do an opening survey with three questions, which we see here, but this is not the survey itself. I'm hoping Marcus or Marcus, Frederick, if you can open this up so that people can access it.
It will work, yeah.
Yes, it appears to. And these are just simple yes, no questions. I'll give everybody a minute to just write down whatever seems most true for you. Okay, give about 20 more seconds.
Okay. We have kind of over 70 people on.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is actually wonderful because I love just actually knowing where an audience is at. This is something we couldn't do before this. The first question is, have you made contact with an inner child? And of the 77 people who answered that, 69 said yes, which is 88, and 9 said no, 12%. And that's a neat mix, actually, because I think it's always a great chance to learn more about ways to deepen our relationship with our inner child. But for those who have not, had that experience, sometimes there can be anxiety that goes with that. You know, am I going to make any contact? Not. It really is good no matter what happens today. It's just an opportunity to learn and get more comfortable. Now, the second one is just literally exactly half and half. 40 votes yes and now 41 no. Do you feel confident you can be a parent to that inner child? Half are saying no. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that because I really, really identify with this fear of, this is an important part of my program, but I grew up in a house where there was no good parenting. How do I do this? That can be scary. Do the terms inner child and reparenting confuse you? About 23 people, 27% said yes, 73% said no. And so we've got a really great mix. And I'm hoping at different times, if I don't run too long, to be able to open it up for some comments, so we'll be able to share our own experience in these areas as we go forward. So thanks to everybody for answering that poll.
Could I end the poll, Charlie?
Please, yes. Thank you so much, Frederick, for doing that. So why is reparenting important? Why is ACA not just a STEP program? I can try to come up with scientific explanations of what the inner child is or the critical parent. And I may try that a little bit. It really honestly is not that important in some ways. For me, what mattered was I simply discovered in ACA that there was a childhood sensibility that is very alive and well in me today. It's not just something that happened to me many, many years ago, and I just have to access it through memory. All of my play, my feelings, my needs, my just quick instincts about people, is this person safe, not safe? All of those things, really, I can do 100 times better because I now have access to an inner child. Who children just deal in feelings and needs and instincts. And for many years, I was cut off from all of that. So the most important thing to know about an inner child is we have one. We may not be in contact with it, but they are there with all the old, who they were, their identity, and all the memories they accumulated. And a second thing equally important is the parenting we received lives on in us today. Now, you'll see I'm starting with some happy pictures because I think it's an important point of reference to start with. How does a healthy family work? It's sort of what we need to relearn in our adulthood. But good or bad, the messages we received in our families were very, very deep. They shape every belief we have about ourselves, what we can do, what we can say. In my family, I felt I got a very real message: be quiet. I was the youngest of three brothers. And so all of these things I don't even question in adulthood began with the messages I got from my parenting and from my older siblings. So, you know, there are some basic needs of healthy childhood that really aren't that complicated when you think about it. A small child absolutely needs love. They need safety. As we start growing, it's extremely important to get validation. You know, we see the world from our wonderful child's perspective. And when the adults in our lives say, oh, that's so great, we grow, we continue to feel safe. When we're basically told, you know, that's just wrong, or I don't have time, or go away, we shrink. Guidance, you know, again, as we get older, we want adults who can sort of help us solve problems, you know, understand the world, how to try a different approach. And then lastly, I said freedom. You know, in the end, the whole point of childhood and parenting is to help the child learn to function in a bigger world as a free and independent person. So we need to support people in their exploration. As I said, I wanted to start with sort of elements of a healthy family, because we all unfortunately have the negative examples. And again, they're pretty simple. A loving parent, which is a term we're going to use, where this is all about becoming our own loving parent, means accessing that, focuses on the child's needs. I'm fortunate enough to have two daughters, and that was one of the biggest, most amazing changes right away, was to realize somebody outside of me had needs that were very, very important. We accept that a child has limitations. They're little, they're growing up, they're learning the language, they're learning life. We provide the essentials, not just a roof, although that is important, but really a zone of emotional safety that the child can grow in. Really important, because I think this is missing out in a lot of dysfunctional families. A loving parent models healthy adult behavior. We accept our responsibilities. We don't hide from them. We get done the things that need to get done. And we solve adult problems for the child. A child should be able to play. The adult does the work. And then very, very critically, it's important to avoid shaming a child or abandoning a child. I mean, it will always happen here and there, but not as a way of life. And this sets a healthy process of growth in motion. You know, when as a child, and I had places in my childhood where this happened, if I felt this kind of support inside, I would feel secure. Inside, I would start developing an ability to trust. Over time, attachments would come easily as a child. They come more easily as I got older. People who grow up in a healthy, functioning family tend to be more emotionally open. They tend to be more themselves because we're not afraid of being jumped on. And that, of course, makes us ready to explore a bigger world and be responsible for our choices. And then, in turn, this is setting the stage for us to become a healthy adult. You know, and many of these terms I'm using are straight from the ACA promises of the solution. We discover our real identity. We're able to share intimacy. We set healthy boundaries. We're not paralyzed by our fear of abandonment. And very critically, we choose healthy friends and partners. So again, this all, you know, begins in childhood. And the other thing which I think is important to note is even in a quote unquote healthy family, functional family, good childhood, it doesn't mean it's this ideal place where pain never happens. We always will have the friend who treats us badly, or the pet who dies, or a relative we love who dies. And I call these normal losses, but the difference is in a functioning family, the loving parents that we have actually help us cope with our disappointments and our frustration. And they help us turn life into a learning experience. Kind of what I call a natural 12 steps. What I mean by that is we can turn our problems over to somebody bigger than ourselves. We can be taught how to inventory a situation and share it and learn and grow. So that even in moments of loss and hurt, we feel supported. And that in turn helps a child in that family setting to feel a trust and hope even when things are not going well. Now, I apologize for the quality of this picture, which I just stumbled across yesterday. But I want to say I had a bad childhood. I think most of us did in some way. Both of my parents were very alcoholic. My mother was not a particularly nurturing person at all. I was very neglected on the best of days. I learned to kind of discover life on my own. But it's not like I never saw loving parenting. And I think this is an important thing, because as adult children, we have to learn these things from somewhere. So the picture here is of me and my mom's mother, my grandmother. And this, she had a home that I could go to, usually maybe once every month or two. And just simply modeled respect, kindness, caring, and tremendous curiosity and support for my interests. So even in a bad childhood, I had places where people supported me very deeply. Teachers, coaches later on, sometimes going to other people's houses. And so I ask, how do you feel in their presence? Because I think it's important to know we do actually have small life experiences in many cases, not always. Some people, they just don't have this experience, but many of us do. And as I say, when our family functions well, what emerges is we trust the world enough to face new challenges, form human connections, and take responsibility for our choices. It's just inside us at that point, if that's what we learned. We, in essence, grow from what we received. So, of course, what went wrong? I did not reach adulthood with any of these good qualities I'm talking about. I had a family where the child did not come first. We were often silenced. Our perceptions were often told they were wrong. And in some ways, this is even more so being the youngest. These two sentences are from the Big Red Book. There's a section right at the front called Adult Child. These describe a lot of my life, not only before I came into ACA, but what I continued to wrestle with after I came into ACA. When confronted by stressful situations, we regress to a stage in our childhood. In essence, our inner child emerges. The feeling I would describe it as, I feel like a four-year-old suddenly dealing with an angry boss. I feel like I'm shrinking down. They feel like they're 12 feet tall. I feel like I'm 3 feet tall. And I really don't know how to respond with detachment. And then responds to adult situations with self-doubt, self-blame, or a sense of being wrong or inferior, all learned from stages of childhood. Again, a lot of what we call the laundry list, a lot of what we call the problem, these really are just episodes where an inner child that we haven't made contact with is still floating around, still living in a very painful past, very unable to deal with the challenges of life. And under stress, that rises to the surface. A lot of this, I think, stems from the lasting harm of a critical parent. Just as we internalize an inner child growing up, and that stays with us today, we also internalize the angry, cold, oh God, do you really need to, help with this right now, kinds of messages we get, which all from a child's point of view, they're not great when you're an adult, but as a child, they can really be quite devastating because they really come down, I think, to three words: you don't matter. And for a child to be told you don't matter when they need help is a really harmful thing. I know I internalized going into adulthood, I don't matter. My needs don't matter. My feelings don't matter. And that button could not be turned off just because I left my home. What is a critical parent? Because we carry one of these inside of us too. They focus on their own needs. They tend to reject a child's limitations. I'm sure many of us have had that experience of getting anger because we don't know how to do something we don't know how to do. They project their own anger and fear and shame onto others. A thing that I find very common, as I hear people's stories, is they avoid adult responsibility. I happen to be lucky. My house was pretty stable, but I've certainly known many people who had to keep moving out of their houses multiple times because the parents couldn't pay the rent. And they practice shame, blame, and abandonment. I think a lot of times, my parents were both adult children themselves, they just did not know how to deal with life situations. So they just would sort of shame you for not knowing how to do it. It was a way that kept them from having to get involved. All of this becomes sort of the opposite of an image of what I showed earlier. This kind of upbringing creates a wounded child. And that's what we start with, is a wounded inner child who feels unsafe, is absolutely afraid to trust. We become isolated or alone. That's the don't talk rule. Emotionally, I say numb, but just flat out shut down or divorced from our feelings. I was certainly very fearful of a larger world because I had nothing to make me feel like I understood how to be there, and very shame-based. If anything went wrong, if somebody even had just a bad look on their face, I felt it was my fault. I lived in a great deal of fear about being singled out. And of course, that small child who lives in this day after day after day eventually becomes an adult child and has exactly the same qualities. I really, just because I became 15 or 25, none of that gave me new skills for dealing with life. So every time I ran into situations I didn't understand, all the confusion, fear would well up. And that was, again, an inner child with whom I'd made no contact. And even if an adult child seems to have some role where they're confident and they're an authority, that wounded inner child is right under the surface. And I think that's why a lot of adult children are afraid of being seen as a fake or an imposter, because inside their inner child feels like, I don't know what I'm doing here. Okay. So when our family fails us, all these things we should have gotten, we kind of get the opposite. Instead of love, rejection, fear, instead of validation, shaming, instead of guidance, confusion, a sense of being on our own. And in my case, a sense of being trapped. I didn't know how to grow. And so we distrust the world. I avoided human connections. I really didn't know how to form connections. Didn't know how to grow through problems. And I stayed stuck inside. And as the world got older and more mature, I felt further and further behind. And as I say, I believe all of these things we call the laundry list, you know, the problem, they really are just simply our failure to make a connection and begin reparenting our inner child. And when we enter adulthood, one of the big tragedies of the adult child syndrome is we don't get to live a new, better life when we turn 18 and leave our homes. We enter life and repeat patterns of childhood history. The shaming we received as children, in adulthood, we find new people who feel familiar, but essentially play old and very destructive roles. And just as I shrank as a child in the presence of angry, unsupportive people, I continued to do this in adulthood. I found people who kept supporting me and feeling small and inadequate. And I really believe the most important piece of ACA is to find freedom, to get out of this trap so we can begin growing, becoming the whole person we were meant to be. And I call this the tragic inner dialogue. My inner child actually kind of shrank when I found this picture to put in my presentation. But this goes on inside. There are other inner parts, but I'm really focusing on the inner child and the this critical parent initially. Inside, anytime something goes wrong, my scared child is ready to think it's his fault. And there's this internalized voice that's always been with me. And I've heard virtually everybody in recovery share this. There's also a you did bad. It's like we got this finger in our own head pointing at us. You did bad. You blew it. And so every life situation we deal with can bring these two players out, not just any inner child, but a very wounded inner child who is scarred by our upbringing, and then echoes of these voices we heard growing up and learned to start telling ourselves. And I call it a tragic inner dialogue, because unless we do something, this defines literally our whole life. Signs of a wounded inner child, we probably all can look in the mirror, but the mirror I'm choosing here is the laundry list. And, you know, the big red books, adult child section, which I read earlier. We judge ourselves harshly. We feel inferior. We fear people. We lose our identity. We try to people please. We hide behind a false self and we stuff our feelings. Why? These are the things you do when you're 4 or 6 or 8 in an unsupportive home. You simply, again, little children, and this is shown in therapy literature, they tend to blame themselves for what happened. We tend to think it's our fault if mommy or daddy is not really communicating love to us. And of course it's not, we're just children. So I'm going to come back. I said earlier our childhood lives in us today. It does, but not the happy child I showed earlier. We couldn't process our lives as it happened, so we continue to carry these old unresolved hurts and fears inside of us, and they're ready to be activated every day. This is ready to come out. That sense of the critical parent lives on in us today. And as I mentioned a moment ago, it makes us very vulnerable to any critical parent communications, whether it comes from inside of us. When I screw things up, I'm very quick to go, "You stupid," you know, it just comes out automatically, or from somebody else who reflects that. And again, I just think the tragedy is we did nothing wrong as children, and yet adult children can live a life of hell because we keep repeating these just terribly cruel things that were done to us in which we had no role. And then as we grow up, this is the other tragedy. It's what I call self-abandonment. I grew up, I simply forgot. I never knew I had an inner child. I forgot the child I was. And ultimately, anytime that sort of scared child voice comes up within me, I would basically say, "Quiet, stop it. I'm trying to do something important." You know, if I was on a date or I was in a work situation, I would always be the one to my own inner child without even knowing it was an inner child. "Shh, stop it." And I became my own critical parent. And of course, just as happened in our own physical childhood, when you are not heard or validated, you eventually just numb out. And that was me before I came into ACA at age 31, numb to my own inspirations, my own identity, my feelings, my dreams.
Charlotte, sorry for interrupting. Just a kind reminder, there's about 20 minutes left.
Very good. Thank you very much. And I am, I'm sure, 20 minutes behind. So I'm going to skip through some slides. I just will say this, because again, we're an international group today. Culture is really irrelevant. You know, I'm from the U.S., people from all kinds of countries. All of these injuries start long before logic and even language. We are all on an even footing. We are hurt before we really are conscious. So I just wanted to end this first section with a critical parent alert. Is this all weird, talking about inner children? I think this group, most of you have made contact with inner child, so you're probably less worried about this. But I will just say the notion of internalized personalities is accepted in many, many, you know, therapy systems. And I'd just say, more very importantly, it just fits our experience. So really the heart of what I like to talk about, 10 minutes for this, and then I'd like to talk about my own experiences. And I apologize in advance for running slow, is about putting a loving parent in charge, because this is really a huge change. Reparenting begins with something that I think many of us already get. We recognize that we still today carry the emotions and needs of a small child within us. We understand the child has scars and hurts, and we help this very lovely, innocent child to grieve old losses and begin to meet their needs and assist their growth. So this requires not a critical parent, but a loving parent. Loving parent does what we all said earlier. They focus on the child's needs and are gentle, kind, patient, and loving parents listen. I think it's a big quality. So how do we as adult children access our loving parent? Some of these are right from the Big Red Book. They suggest writing a letter to a loving parent. There's some affirmations in chapter 8 of the Big Red Book. I think it's important we just understand we are capable of kindness to ourselves and to our inner child. I'm going to go through some pictures in a second, but I think speaking kindly to childhood photos has great power. Asking for guidance. We have many people we know in recovery who have been through this reparenting process. Meditation, and then the simple question, what would a loving parent do? I mentioned that I had some loving parent figures. How might they have handled the situation? There's a lot of clues, but the key is you don't have to be perfect. Just good enough. You know, just good enough to help your inner child start feeling more safe. A key part of this is ending this dialogue I was talking about before, because our inner child hears and absorbs every negative comment that's made about us. And we need to find a gentle way to quiet this down. This is something Bonnie talked about in April, and the Big Red Book talks about. The first action is to try to access a loving parent. And the first thing that loving parent needs to do is, in essence, gently usher the critical parent to out of the center of the room over to the side. And that means we have to challenge the language of shaming. When we hear it, we need to intervene and talk to this critical parent. That creates space for the loving child to emerge. Now, something Bonnie talked about, which I think is a really wonderful insight, this does not mean telling our critical parent to just shut up when we're criticizing ourselves. I'm sure we've all had that thing. We get into arguments in our own heads. The critical parent is itself kind of a scared, lonely being. And when we can start showing compassion to that critical parent, be a loving parent to them, we create a calm, safe place for everybody. We can actually thank the critical parent. You know, thank you for caring. You know, why don't you just sort of sit over there? I've got this. I looked at this picture and I said, think of the critical parent as like a well-intended grandparent or parent-in-law. They may have ideas, but you're in charge. And just sort of say, thank you. I know you've tried to protect us all these years, but I've got this now. And then have language for gentle boundaries, and then quickly start turning over to our inner child. Because this is where the real action is. As our loving parent gets strong enough to probably be a bit of a nervous parent, our inner child, in ACA terms, oftentimes they're still in hiding. It took me a while for my inner child to respond to me. They're scared, they're alone, they've been abandoned, not just in childhood, but unconsciously by us in adulthood. So building trust is slow. I compare it in a sense to kind of reuniting with an orphan. You know, they're not going to necessarily feel trust right away. I also would say, as a parent, I felt scared trying to form this relationship. I was afraid I'd be pushed away. I was afraid I wouldn't be adequate. Half of us basically said, we're not confident we can do this. And so I'm going to say patience and persistence are really critical. There's one thing I would say is, be consistent, set aside regular time, maybe several days each week, to try to spend time with your inner child. And remember that our inner child needs us, but we also need our inner child. They are our feelings. They are really kind of the heart of who we are. So what are some ways to access the inner child? I'm going to quickly buzz through some of these. Live with your heart. This is not an intellectual process. Photos are a great way for me to reconnect with my childhood. I see who I was. I feel love for that child. Post affirmations in your home and read them. And they can be very simple, the things a small child would like to hear. We talk in the Big Red Book about non-dominant handwriting. You know, write with your adult hand, which for me is my right hand, answer with the left hand. It was very surprising to me. I had a child with real independent opinions in there. And then another one that was super helpful for me is just doing things I knew I enjoyed as a child. That doing things that were pleasurable helped my inner child connect and come out. So you'll get the fast tour of my family photos. This is me probably about 15 months. This is me maybe at 9. And it was actually right between one really bad period and another really bad period. I used to not like this picture because I had these goofy big ears and hair that sort of sprawled. I like it now because I still see some genuine child in me. Whereas just a year or so later, I see that I was really shutting down, which is the way I spent the next 20 odd years until ACA. But I can not just look at pictures, I can actually speak to them. I can say, you know, you're a beautiful kid. Revisiting childhood, I love sports. Some people love drawing, but whatever brought any joy or safety as a child, doing those activities, but imagining I've got a physical child right next to me, really was wonderful in bringing that connection out. Hot chocolate. My wife and I both have hot chocolate very regularly. We let our inner children run the kitchen a lot. And then Guided meditations. There's one I'm not going to do today because I'm running behind, but there's one in the Big Red Book that helps you just simply be in the same space as your inner child. Again, this is sort of a repeat. As a loving parent, you don't have to be brilliant. You just need to create a safe and positive environment. And it really comes down to one message we can keep saying to our inner child over and over, which is, I love you. You're okay. You're doing great. And these kinds of affirmations I mentioned earlier, they are, in my experience, very healing to my inner child. I love you. You're beautiful. I'm here for you. You know, you don't need to be an adult. It's okay to be the child. It's okay to be angry, sad, happy. And I'm glad you're alive. These come from many sources, but they were the words my child did not hear the first time. It's never too late. My child's still a child. So if he hears those words today, it helps him feel safe and grow. And then lastly, I say loving touch. I had an experience recently where I had real problems with my inner infant going into panic, who I'd never made as much contact with because I couldn't talk. Touching my stomach helped because that's how we connect and make an infant safe, is to touch them. We can also just check in. How are you doing? So when reparenting is working, we reinforce love by giving attention and kindness to the child. We reinforce safety by setting firm boundaries with our critical parent and any of those critical parents we meet in life. Reassuring is very important. It's okay. It's okay. I got this. Guidance, the literature, and especially fellow travelers in recovery, very important. We're not alone anymore. We can ask, how does this work? And then lastly, we can give our child opportunities to explore their world. We gain trust in ourselves, in what I call a guiding power, and in safe people, because that's another thing our child can help us do, is figure out who are safe people, because the feelings help them do that. So challenges, some people aren't sure they believe in an inner child. Not many on this call. I will say, if you shared my reaction to some of these pictures, that's your inner child. Some of these scary pictures, my inner child shrank. These other happy pictures, it's like, I never saw good parenting, probably the single biggest thing I hear from adult children. I didn't get this as a child. And no, you didn't get this as a child. But we now can support each other. ACA can really be the family today we did not have. Not always perfect, but we support each other, we share. I'm not sure my inner child will like me. In fact, my inner child wasn't really that happy to see me originally. I was like, where the hell have you been all these years? I had to keep coming back. I had to earn trust. And eventually, when we take all of the support we have in the program today, these challenges start healing. Just as our critical parent starts calming down when they see there's a loving parent in charge. Critical thing is just, for me, creating space for my inner child's feelings. Once he started coming out, he had a backlog of very painful memories to process. Anger, hurt, bewilderment. And some of this I could do myself. Some of this I did with therapy. I let other people share the parenting burden, sponsors. And I created a safe community where my inner child could be painful. And then, love this picture. What happens when your inner child starts feeling safe? Your feelings get unfrozen. We start growing again. My child stops being stuck in the past. He can join the life I'm living today. I feel capable of love. I was so frozen inside when it came to ACA. I gained trust, not blind trust, but trust. And all of these laundry list traits, I said trades, fade. And in my case, I feel like a whole person. I still have my mental faculties, but I've got a heart inside of me and I got a sense of play inside of me. I'm a much more whole person because my inner child and my loving parent now work together as a team. So daily life.
Sorry for interrupting. 5 minutes left.
5 minutes left. Okay. Well, this is not as, thank you very much for the warnings, Marcus. This is keeping me halfway on track. So becoming your own loving parent. I'm just going to go through a couple of quick scenarios. Workplace. Now, there's a place where my inner child feels safe. You know, nothing like a job review with your boss to make the inner child laugh and play. I've learned there to say, I'm the parent. I'm the adult. You just stay over in the corner and play. And no matter what he says, I'm going to love you. God's going to love you. You'll be fine. And just that kind of assurance frees my child from fearing what happened to him as a young person, that he would be blamed for somebody else's problem. It's just not a place for the child to be, you know, in that kind of setting. With a romantic partner, or in my case with a wife, we have had to learn to be very gentle with each other's inner children. And early on, we also had to be very protective of our own inner child. I remember vividly about a year and a half in with my wife, Robin, we were running into a repetitive problem we were stuck in. And I remember talking to my inner child and saying, this won't go on much longer. If we can't solve this, no matter how much I love this woman, I'm going to step away because I cannot let you be mistreated. But finding a partner where our child starts to trust them is a really, really huge deal. You know, as a younger person, I never had that. Our family of origin, it tends to be, again, the same thing about boundaries. Once I became protective of my inner child in my own life and home, it made me very fiercely protective in other communities. I was not going to go into my family of origin and let people walk over me anymore, you know? And so I stopped acting like the youngest child. But for me, maybe the biggest reparenting tool of all is to literally imagine I have a 4-year-old at my side or a 6-year-old at my side, who needs to go to the bathroom, who needs to eat, but who needs to also be protected from negative comments. And so thinking of myself as a parent helps me be a better adult because I stand up not just for my inner child, but for myself. We form actually quite a team that way. And then lastly, by ourselves. When I am by myself, I tend to find things to do. I used to love walking in the woods as a kid. I love taking walks by myself now. I used to love sports. I still love some of the same sports teams. I take time to do things that I know my inner child's going to enjoy too. So we play together. So I want to close very quickly, I hope, with a survey. And I'm going to ask people just to do question. Well, go through all three. Have you made contact with an inner child? If we can maybe clear the first one. If it's possible to relaunch this poll. Okay. I'm not sure if that's
going to do it. Yeah.
Thanks. Okay. Yeah. Very good. So I'm going to go back with the very same questions. Have you made a contact with an inner child? Have you even perhaps felt your inner child a little bit, you know, today? Do you feel maybe a little more confident that you can be a parent to this inner child, either through something you've heard today or just simply you can go back and work in your community to get guidance? Do you still feel confused by these terms, inner child and reparenting? So I'm going to let that play out for a second and talk about resources. Big Red Book, Chapter 8, for my money, one of the best chapters in the book. It really talks about this journey that is so essential to real healing of our hearts. As I mentioned, there will be a new book in 2021, Loving Parent Guidebook. We're trying to write it with simpler language. Hopefully that'll make it easier to translate. Others in ACA, just a huge resource. How do you do reparenting? How do you do it when you want that child to come out and they're not talking to you today? Trained therapists, very, very big asset. And then non-ACA literature. If you go to Google and just say inner child reparenting. There were some wonderful classic books. I'm not supposed to endorse them, but there were some wonderful books on reparenting starting in the 80s and 90s. I will say John Bradshaw wrote one called Homecoming that was quite transformative to me. You know, there's just a lot of literature out there, not just the ACA literature. So I'm going to look at our poll. We've got 9,900 people just answered. Have you made?
Should I end it and share the results, Charlie?
Yes, I think so, Frederick. 10 seconds. You have 10 seconds to vote. Okay, go ahead and close it, Frederick. Okay. Have you made contact with an inner child? Seemingly some people have made contact even in the last hour. We have one fewer person who said no, but more people who answered the survey. Something which I feel very pleased about. Do you feel confident you can be a parent to that inner child? The answer is yes, by many more. It was like 50-50 before. I'll say when I realized my inner child started to trust me and I could take care of it was one of the most powerful moments, in my life. I knew we'd be okay together. And then do the terms inner child and reparenting confuse you? For some, yes, but seemingly some people have some more clarity. I think I'm at the end of my time. I'm going to respect that. If people have questions or comments, please feel free to put them in the chat room. I'll be very happy to respond. But with that,
Charlie.
Yes.
We will give people the opportunity.
Ah, fabulous. Fabulous. Oh, that's right. So we created time for questions. Okay.
Yeah, so we have 20 minutes, 15 minutes for that.
So before I open the floor to questions, I want you to know I am a demonstration of not having to do everything perfectly at all. I rarely do. And one of the things I love is my inner child kind of can laugh along. I'd forgotten we have 20 minutes. So that's the heart of my presentation, but I'm hoping even over the next 20 minutes, we'll be able to talk about more aspects of reparenting. So Marcus or Frederick, can I ask you to just call on people to ask questions?
We have Sophia who is taking the lead. So.
Okay, great. And Sophia, by the way, I love your picture.
Thank you. Thank you, Charlie. We will now open the room for shares. Please use the raise hand function if you'd like to speak. When Courage ACA members from different countries to share openly about their experiences to allow as many people a chance to share during the meeting, we ask each person to limit their sharing to their minutes, to 3 minutes. So we are open now to shares.
Volker, you are allowed to speak now.
Yeah, thank you very much. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, my name is Volker, adult child from Germany. I'm pretty new to the ACA program. I still have some doubts, even though I can identify with a lot of the stuff, but I think, well, it wasn't that bad at my home. I wasn't beaten, and I don't know, all these things. My question is, thank you very much for your presentation, a very great presentation. And I now got a better view on what is reparenting. My question is, ACA is very much focused on parents and the family surrounding, but how about school and peers? Because I very often had the experience as a child that I got bullied or treated badly by peers or by classmates and neglected by teachers when other children were bullying me and all these things. Is this also somehow covered anywhere, or does this even matter? I don't know, in terms of, or is everything related to the to the parents. I don't know if this makes sense. Thank you.
No, it makes complete sense to me, Volker. Actually, the really key part of this is the child, not the parents, because a child cannot grow into a thriving adult without a lot of support. And even the thing you mentioned about not being beaten, there was not much. There's two periods of my childhood where there was a lot of violence, but not for the most part. But the neglect and the lack of support, the sense of being on my own, and some of the verbal cruelty, all of those things for a 3-year-old or a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old have a tremendous impact in the kind of confidence we develop. But starting in my household, I had two older brothers, and they also were a source not that they wanted to, but they were very frightening to me in their own ways. And going out into schools, absolutely. Anything that really sort of permanently freezes a sense of fear and intimidation in your soul is an injury that will continue to affect us in adulthood. The reason reparenting is so powerful, and the reason ACA, I think, is so powerful, is the parent can basically help the child work through these challenges. I've been bullied in the workplace. I needed reparenting and the help of therapists, the help of other people in recovery, to no longer be dominated by bullies. In essence, as I said earlier, being in a recovery community also gives you a lot of caring brothers and sisters who can help you grow. I'll just say one thing. The big thing about ACA is repetition. If we keep repeating the same pattern over and over and over again, probably there's a childhood issue, and having the support of this program in a community will help you finally get out of that pattern that keeps happening. Does that answer your question, Volker?
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Okay. Good luck. I hope you stay in long enough to make a comfortable decision. I know my life kept getting better just from the doing of this. Next question.
Charlie, this is Marcus. Just a quick question.
Yeah.
Are you open to us sharing your slides on our EC website?
If people can wait for me to work on one sort of disclaimer on the slides today, this is not an official ACA document. And so if people can just give me an hour or two to sort of type that in, then I'll be happy to resend something to you for sharing, Marcus.
Okay, thank you. And for those of you who ask, this recording will be available on our website as soon as we have listened to it.
So I my hope and expectation is these slides will be available at least as a PDF by today.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. The next person is Nikki R from UK. Please unmute yourself.
Hi there. Yes, hi, Nikki, Adult Child. Oh, I'm so, so grateful for this this workshop. This is absolutely amazing. Thank you so much. I'm relatively new to ACA. I'm on step 3. And I just absolutely love what you said about, you know, really accessing my loving parents, you know, when I'm triggered and when little Nikki is feeling unsafe. You know, I've had a relapse the last week or two. I literally went into avoidance. I was frozen, I isolated, I was frightened, and I didn't access my loving parents. So just to know that is what I can do for myself, and just say, you know, you can go off and play, you can go off and draw or do whatever you need to do. I'm here for you. I'm gonna deal with this situation. You're safe, you're protected, you're heard, you're nurtured, you know, we can have a cuddle or whatever. That's just such a valuable thing to hear. And, you know, within probably 20 minutes of this workshop, I started to cry. So I just wanted to say a huge thank you, really. Thank you.
Thank you, Nikki. It's all wonderful to hear. Thank you.
Okay, then the next person is Annette H.
Hi, Charlie. Thank you very much. I have a question. I came in at the end of the your workshop, but I had done quite a lot of work on the inner child, and something I have struggled with is I'm also a parent, and I don't know if you covered this in a workshop, and apologies if you have, but I really have wanted to ask this question a long time. How do you deal when there's a kind of conflict between your inner child and your like outer children? I have young adults living at home with me, and some of the behavior is triggering my inner child. And I guess my question is, which child do you actually prioritize? And I guess you're going to say the inner child, but it's difficult as a parent. I just wonder if you have any experience to share, if you have children of your own, or if you have any, just something to share to help me work, like move forward with this.
You're muted, Charlie.
Thank you. Sorry. That's a great question. And I do have two daughters, and they're now well into their 30s. One thing I remember, there are conflicts. When my daughters were very young and I was very committed to giving them a better childhood, at times my inner kid would be resentful, you know, like, why didn't I get this? You know, and so there's not always harmony. But the reason I think it's important to start with our own reparenting, you know, as I said earlier, a lot of what we call our laundry list traits and the problem really are a reflection of a neglected inner child, you know, so that if in your case you have your daughters living or your children living in your home, the truth is, few people can violate my boundaries with as much brilliant artistry as my two daughters can. You know, they really somehow know what all my buttons are. I need greater protection from them in a sense. And my inner child is going to be my first warning signal of I'm feeling unhappy. Now, if I kind of say, hey, quiet, these are my daughters, I've got to pay attention to them, my inner child's resentment is just going to keep boiling up. If I can basically say, what do you need? What's bothering you? We can negotiate. And that's something which I didn't talk about a lot in this talk, is how we negotiate with our inner 4-year-old or 6-year-old. They need time and attention. They need their space respected. And if that's not happening, by forming greater clarity about all of us, not just our intellectual needs, but our emotional needs through our inner child, we become better able to set boundaries, you know, with others in our lives. And in many ways, there's nowhere that's more important than with our own children. Because again, when we can behave using the principles of the program, respectful boundaries to our children, who can oftentimes behave like critical parents to us, we begin creating a more balanced world. It doesn't mean we're lashing out. In fact, the more quickly we deal with our inner child, in my experience, the more likely I am to be, when I start by being a loving parent to myself, it helps balance me to be a loving parent to my true biological children. Does that make sense, Annette?
Oh, thank you. That makes so much sense. And yeah. And you know how it is with the inner child. When mm-hmm. the inner child feels unhappy, it's mm-hmm. somehow, I don't know, as I also feel I have an inner adult mm-hmm. that kind of leaves the room. Mm-hmm. And I have to get the inner adult back to look after my inner child, protect my inner child. And that's often where things go wrong, that my inner adult just leaves as soon as there's some problems.
I'm sorry, the loving parent will not do that. And that's the distinction. You know, once we take on that responsibility, the loving parent is far quicker to step in and not re-abandon the child. Anyway, thank you. I'm sorry, go ahead.
yeah, it was just lovely to hear you. It was good for me to hear you, your experience of your, you know, when your children were younger, that your inner child felt resentful. I've had that with my eldest daughter, and I've had a lot of shame about that, but, you know, it makes total sense. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Annette. Then it's Sarah B.
Hi, I'm Sarah, an adult child. Thank you so much for the share. It's really helpful. Yeah, I'm in ACA and I'm also the counsellor. And I have made contact with my inner child, and it's lovely. But then what happens is I get busy, which is one of my avoidance techniques, and I get tired. And I forget, or I haven't got the energy to make any effort with my inner child. And then I'm in the space, which has happened again now, very much so. And now I'm almost scared of my inner child because she'll be so angry and hurt with me. And, you know, one of your things was don't break promises, and I do. And it's how I can forgive myself and just stop doing that and be consistent with her. Thank you.
Thank you. I've broken promises too, to my flesh and blood daughters, to my own inner child. This is one of those places where the steps and the reparenting really work together. One of the best steps for me is the 10th step. Because instead of saying, let's keep piling on and doing the same behavior again and again and again because we're afraid to face it, it basically says when we are wrong, we admit it and we fix it. And so my experience is my inner child will be unhappy with me. But the fact that I'm ready to come back and try again, I do think scheduling time is very, very helpful. But once they realize I am back and present again, that's where the healing is, you know. And again, the steps remind me, don't let this keep festering, admit it, face it, and do something new. So, but thank you very much for sharing that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Then we take the last person because the time is ending up. So Yolanta. Welcome.
Hi, everyone. Yolanta, adult child, Lithuanian. I'm calling from UK. Thank you so much, Charlie, for your share. My question is, I came from the other 12-step fellowship, and I'm learning to have the connection with the higher power. And then doing the steps in HCA, there's like a confusion. What is the higher power? What is the parent? And like, what is the inner child? So I feel like I get mixed up in those messages. And I wonder if you have any experiences in that. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. And by the way, if people have additional questions, feel free to put them in the chat. And I'll take a 5-minute break after this program, but I'll come back and, you know, start responding to people's notes. So feel free to continue your questions. Yolanta, that's a great question. And actually, the nice thing, in my opinion, is there's room in us for all of these things. I mean, when the Loving Parent Guidebook comes out, it'll talk about things like loving teenagers, or rather, you know, inner teenagers. And, but basically, one of the things I have been thinking about a lot lately is when a child is only 1 or 2 or 3, that child initially has no problem thinking about a higher power because everything in their world, starting with their parents, is a power much greater than they are. I think we actually lose that trust, you know, in a higher power when we are not treated well or effectively by our parents. And that's, I think, one of the big challenges in ACA is our trust got shattered at a very early age. So when you think about it, there are many powers greater than ourselves in our lives. The program and my meetings, they're a power greater than me. Now, I happen to believe in a big God power. That's a gift of ACA for me. I also know many people in AA, ACA don't. And that's okay. There's still plenty of bigger powers you can grab onto. So really, this is just one relationship among many, and they all work together. When I access my loving parent, and my inner child now knows, wow, he's not alone anymore. You know, if I need help, there's a loving parent here to help me. My loving parent needs help too. I talk to other people in recovery. I pray. You know, and so it all kind of works together. It's almost like a chain of ever-widening powers. We're talking today. I'm in the United States. I normally couldn't talk to you, but we now have like 100, many of us talking and listening together today. This to me is a power greater than us. And I think the beauty of establishing this first bridge of trust between a lost, wounded, long abandoned inner child, bringing them in out of the cold and saying, your loving parent and is here again. This is my amend to you. I am going to be here for you. Now, once that first bridge of trust is formed, it gets easier for me to form bridges of trust to other people in recovery. It becomes easier for me to trust a higher power that I can't see, but I can feel. And so to me, they don't conflict. They actually support each other. I don't know if that answers your question, Yolanta, but I would just say, and I'd say this about anything that sort of gets us stuck, like I don't understand how this works. I'm also in AA. There's just a great saying, keep coming back. Somehow those types of questions resolve themselves. They solve themselves in our own hearts. But I know that when my inner child feels loved, his trust in everything, including a higher power, just comes much more naturally. So does that answer your question, Yolanta?
Yeah. Hi. Thank you. Yeah. That's very interesting. Yeah, it does. It does help. Thank you.
I'll just say one last thing for me, because I was a very isolated child. That was how I solved life, and a very isolated adult. The solution, says the healing, begins when we risk emerging from isolation. You know, this knowing you are emerging into a life where there is love and safety available for you from a loving parent and a higher power, if we take that in, who will never abandon us. If I know I've got sources of love that will never go away, then it becomes far less fearful dealing with the rest of the world. Because if I dearly hope not, my wife, one of us will leave each other first at some point, or a friendship breaks, that no longer causes fear, because inside I sort of have a mutually supportive family. I've got a child, I got a parent, I have friends. I'm no longer fearful of abandonment, because these are sources of love that I own, and they will never go anywhere. So in a certain sense, my inner child never has to fear abandonment again. And that really, I think, has changed my whole way of thinking about the world and relating to the world. So listen, I always love these conversations. I learn. I hope this has been, helpful to many on the call, but it certainly has been helpful for me getting ready this week. And then the moment of actually sharing. So I want to thank all of you. As I say, I'll be listening in on the next program, which I'm looking forward to, but I will also catch up with people on the notes, and I will get a variation of my PowerPoint to Marcus for distribution today, but it will have some kind of disclaimer on it that it's not a WSO program. So thank you all again. I just hope you stay with the program if you're new, and keep getting deeper in the program if you've been here longer. And thanks so much to everybody.
Charlie.
Sophia.
No. Thank you, Charlie. We have come to the end of this speaker meeting. I would like to thank speakers, everyone that shared today and was of service to make this virtual event happen. please check the ACA World Service WSOEC.org website for information about these meetings. MP3 recordings. Now I've asked Irki to read the promises.
Hi everybody, Imke Adelchild from the Netherlands. The ACA promises. 1. We will discover our real identities by loving and accepting ourselves. 2. Our self-esteem will increase as we give ourselves approval on a daily basis. 3. Fear of authority figures and a need to people please will leave us. 4. Our ability to share intimacy will grow inside us. 5. As we face our abandonment issues, we will be attracted by strength and become more tolerant of weaknesses. 6. We will enjoy feeling stable, peaceful, and financially secure. 7. We will learn how to play and have fun in our lives. 8. We will choose to love people who can love and be responsible for themselves. 9. Healthy boundaries and limits will become easier for us to set. 10. Fears of failure and success will leave us as we intuitively make healthier choices. 11. With help from our ACA support group, we will slowly release our dysfunctional behaviors. 12. Gradually, with our higher powers' help, we will learn to expect the best and get it. Thus.
Thank you, Inke. We remind ourselves of the seventh tradition. Every ACA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contribution. To make a seventh tradition contribute by using PayPal account, please visit our website. Our next meeting is on recovery in tradition and service at 12 p.m. Central European time. Please join me in closing our meeting with the ACA Serenity Prayer in the language you prefer. God, grant me the serenity.
Grant me the serenity.
To accept the people cannot change.
The
courage to change the one I can. And the wisdom to know that the one is me.